What's up, y'all? This is Terrell Johnson, host of the Black Engineer Podcast. We're coming at you live today from La Create Space, where we always make it happen. Today, we got a couple of special guests here with us today. We got Rashad and we got Speezy. We're going to be kind of just linking up today, just talking about, you know, things that are going on in society. It's the first time that we're all connected at the same time. Like, you know, all of our paths kind of led us to where we're at today. So just to give you a little background on the Black Engineering Podcast, this is a podcast and a platform for Black engineering thoughts and excellence, where we focus on sports, technology, all from the mind of an engineer. We know that Black people out here are excelling in all types of careers, and a lot of people think that we can't do what we do. So I want to introduce my guest. I'm going to start with Rashad. He's going to give you a little bit of info about him. So welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, man? So my name is Rashad Cooks. I'm the owner of Mount Zion Financial. We're a nationwide alternative lender in commercial real estate lending. We specialize in providing startup and established business owners with access to capital when they can't get funded from the bank for poor credit, outdated tax records, or lack of business history.
And we got Spizzy over here.
Spizzy.
He's up in the house.
Yeah, man. I'm so excited to be here, bro. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for having us on. Man, just to introduce myself a little bit, my name is T-Spice. Sometimes I go by Spizzy. I'm running an organization called the Uncle Sonny Project, which is all about building a relationship with yourself. I'm really passionate about helping people develop the type of clarity, consistency, and confidence that it takes to live a life by design instead of by default. I consider myself on a mission and a journey to inspire 1 million people to have the guts to follow their guts, man, because I've been able to jump out of my comfort zone so many times that I found that fear is mostly a matter of the mind. And once you approach and engage with it, you find that you had nothing to worry about in the first place. So I'm excited to connect with you on this journey as I move along.
Yeah, man. And just one of the things that we were kind of thinking about, you know, we were just literally here at the space. A lot of you may know that, you know, La Create Space is out here in Inglewood. It's the first Black co-working space like in the area. There's a couple more that just popped up, which is great, because I really feel personally that like these type of community centers are actually needed. Like, people need a place to go and to get out the house, and it's really becoming like more relevant like right now. You know, we got families of five living in like a one bedroom apartment, and so it's like, you know, having places for people to go to get out the house to actually excel is something that I'm passionate about. And you know, like my two guests today, like, they were, you know, working out of the space today, and we were just talking. We're like, yeah, man, like, we're having all these conversations. T-Spizzy told me about his podcast. I told him about mine, and we're like, you know, we both kind of started it for the same reasons. We were having these conversations anyway, and so here we are, basically like, hey, man, you guys just want to come up. We'll do this podcast real quick, kind of talk about what we got going on, talk about a couple of the issues, and so, yeah, so that's, like, where we're at. We wanted to kind of start it off with just like the spirit of everything that's been going on, but just on a more positive tip. So we know tomorrow is like Juneteenth. And so really wanted to kind of tell you guys a little bit about Juneteenth, like what that mean. I mean, for you guys, like, what does Juneteenth mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. Juneteenth is one of those holidays that are little known and underappreciated. And I'm actually just learning that now, because back in the day, a couple of years ago, from what I know, you know, that's just something that we do. My grandmother used to organize a parade in Syracuse, New York every year. So we used to go up there and we actually celebrated Juneteenth. It was a thing for us. So now that, you know, it's getting a little bit more turbulent, you know, with the racial divide in America, I'm finding that a lot of people that are Black African Americans aren't aware of the significance of Juneteenth. Yeah. But I'm super excited that so many people are taking interest in it now. Right. And more people are like, yo, it's over for the 4th.
Yeah.
We're celebrating on the 19th. So I'm excited about what tomorrow's going to bring.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because like, that's basically what it is. And like we now have like our day. And so the fact that more people know about it, it's like, we can celebrate it. Whereas like in the past, you know, it's been a day like, well, we're not going to get off work. It's not not nationally recognized holidays. You know, corporate companies are not giving people a day off to go celebrate Juneteenth. And so now we're like kind of in this new world where like we actually have a day to celebrate our freedom, which is great, because that keeps the conversations going.
Absolutely. They need to make it a national holiday, in my opinion.
That's a fact. Start the petition.
Yeah, we started.
We're going to start
Change.org coming soon. You know, but on a real though, I think it's going to happen, because it's kind of happening, right? Like, what is a national holiday? I mean, a national holiday is just a holiday when the day comes that people know that, like something's going on. And I think, you know, definitely getting a day off, especially if you're Black.
We need
it's
it.
Like, you know, like we don't work long enough for free. Word. So might as well give us, you know, like one more day where you can pay us and like we ain't got to do anything. But an interesting fact about Juneteenth that I found when I was researching it for this show was that, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation happened 2 years before Juneteenth actually was, like, freed the slaves in Texas. And so you can almost imagine that, like, you got all these slaves in Texas working for 2 years, but they were really free. And so it just kind of shows you how technology back in the day took, you know, 2 years to get from the East Coast, from Washington, D.C., over to Texas. Nowadays, we have the internet. And so, like, what do you guys think about how the internet has just helped to just shed light on, like, what's going on and, like, the speed that people can just get information?
Oh, man, it's instant. Like, Instagram, all these other social media platforms, like, honestly, I don't even really have to watch the news as much now. Like, it's literally just at the touch of my hands, you know. As soon as I go on my timeline, it's mm-hmm. whatever's relevant, especially with regard to everything that's been going on within the Black community, yeah. Black Lives Matter. So, you know, instant updates, you know, constant feedback, and, you know, I'm loving it.
I'm thinking what's coming up for me, bro, is you painted this picture of a bunch of slaves, like, learning that they free from, like, a meme or something. It's like, when the government sets all the slaves free, you're like, what? Hold up. Like, we supposed to be...
They've been, like, 2 years we out here, bro. Like,
they wildin'.
And at that point, technically, it's not legal. What do you tell your owner or your boss or whoever?
That's crazy. Know? Could you imagine figuring out that you a free man from a text message or
something? I'll be pissed.
Yeah, 2 years, that's extreme right there.
That's like how people is finding out about their stimulus check right now. But
I'm
imagine
still waiting on that stimulus. Yeah. I don't know about you.
Me too, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy, though, man. I mean, like the history of it is, you know, it's just insane. I mean, like, slavery has been going on for so long. But I think people in America, especially like white people, they're just really starting to realize that, okay, like, I can't be ignorant to these stories anymore. I can't be ignorant to the real U.S. history. And they have to pick a side. It's like, now that you know about it, are you with it? Are you against it? Do you think it was right? Do you think it was wrong? Like, do you think that the people who, you know, kind of were for it or represented things that were for slavery should exist? And I think that those conversations are being had, like, everywhere, especially inside of corporate America. So, yeah, man, like, I don't know. It's just one of those things where, like, this holiday, along with, like, Kwanzaa, is something that I feel that Black people really need to start embracing, because if we don't embrace it, we can't expect, you know, non-Blacks to embrace it. And so I don't really celebrate Kwanzaa, but that's definitely something that I'm trying to move towards. And just because it's built for good reasons, if you kind of read the names.
See, I actually grew up celebrating Kwanzaa, so, you know, I actually kind of took pride in, you know, I actually got my one family member I've been advocating for years to start doing it again. Hopefully everything going on puts the battery back in her back. Interesting enough, what I always found interesting was that Kwanzaa is actually an African-American type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people thought it actually started in Africa, you know, but nah, it was created, I believe, by a guy in Harlem.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
And this is the only thing that was, like, created by us that we sort of recognize as, like, a holiday. And so for people not to embrace it, it's kind of disappointing. It's kind of sad. Like, you know, I'm trying to figure out, like, the traditions of Kwanzaa and to go get the, you know, it's like the candle holder and figuring out where those things are. One, they're, like, really difficult to find. And two, when I find them, they're, like, really expensive. So I'm like, I don't know.
You know? Hey, crazy part is I have two family members that they're very close, my grandmother and my sister. They're actually named after two of the principals of Kwanzaa. My sister's name, her government name is Nia. That's what she goes by, too. I don't know why I said her government name, but my grandmother renamed herself Umoja, which is unity. So Nia is purpose, Umoja is unity. And that's something that I really adhere to. Like, I really I honor that. So I'm definitely interested in, you know, embracing Kwanzaa, you know, so maybe me and Rashad, we get together on Kwanzaa. Nah, what you doing this Kwanzaa,
yeah,
bro?
Like, that's what we're going to do. Like, we're going to have something at the space. Right. We're giving out Kwanzaa gifts this year, like slide through. But that's cool, though, man. You know, one of the things that, like, I think we all kind of have in common is that we're all, like, Greek affiliate, both of your Qs.
I'm the Omega Psi Phi in the house.
Psi Phi over here. And so one of the things that me and my bro's been thinking about, it's like, kind of what's our responsibility as like men and that are Greek in the NPHC to kind of actively be involved in like higher organizations, really just kind of, you know, like we were presidents, maybe we were a member of our chapter. We kind of saw how these organizations can be formed, you know, going to our national conventions and things like that. So it's like, what are some of the things that you guys in your chapter have kind of done to, you know, just build like better awareness around helping the youth and uplift our community?
Well, I'm a full-time mentor. Like I dedicated my life to shifting mindsets, offering new paradigms and perspectives so that people can kind of choose which way they want to go so they don't feel boxed in, they don't feel limited, you know, as far as you know, what they've been handed, as far as options are concerned. So I think that as members of Black Greek organizations, it kind of runs through our blood, you know, to be leaders, to jump out there, to be fearless, to take the first step and say, look, we're jumping into action. You can stand behind me. It's okay, but we're going, yeah. You know, and I feel like that is something that is very needed because there are a lot of people that are apprehensive and hesitant to be the first ones to do something. And, you know, AFIA may have been the first ones to be Black Greeks or whatever, yeah. But we're going to be...
I'm glad you recognize it. I'm glad you recognize we was first, you know what I mean?
If we're talking about the most effective organization, you know what I'm saying? Either way, we're getting it done.
We ain't got no time to have this debate. We're going to need a few more people in here with us. Because they got me out, man.
It's not about being first, it's about being the best.
We were the first on a Black college campus.
Right.
But let's get that correct.
Regardless of all of that, I'm super excited to be in a position where I can say, look, this is the example. You know, you don't have to do it exactly like me, but not doing anything isn't an option.
And one thing that always stuck with me from our founders was that, you know, yes, be effective on your campus, on your college campus, but as you graduate from your college campus, you're supposed to go back into your inner community, and you're supposed to become effective and become an asset to your own community, help build up the people, build up your environment, build up everything around you. So that's one thing that I've always, you know, read it, but I've also held that as something that's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, just seeing people out in the community, I mean, especially with like Black men, like not to get any other industries wrong, but most of the successful people that I see are Greek in some type of way. If not, they thought about being Greek, they tried to be Greek, but at the end of the day, they know about Greeks and like what they stand for. And so a lot of people have always asked me like, why'd you join it? It's like, well, one, it's a brotherhood, and the organization is really built to uplift our community, kind of what you guys are mentioning. It's trying to teach us how to be better men. And a lot of the reasons why we were founded in the first place was because of a lot of issues that we're kind of going through right now. So we've really been having conversation around the purpose, at least of our chapter, and then really trying to get dialed back in, you know, to be a part of these organizations because, like, you know, 95% of doctors and lawyers are Greek. Of Black doctors and lawyers are Greek, and like that's a fact. Yeah, like, it's a fact whether it's male or female. Man. And
so we gotta do better.
Yeah, I mean, well, like. Yeah, I mean, we got to do better. It has to be other industries, but it also shows that like how important like just being a part of like an organization that's aiming high is. And so I got to ask that because, you know, I just feel like, again, like our organizations were created as a result of this. I know we've all been fighting this fight for a long time. Like in Alpha, we have like a voteless people as a hopeless people. You know, we have like different programs that are aimed at helping the youth, and different chapters have different things. And so I really think it's important around programming and, you know, people understanding like how to run a nonprofit. How important is it to, you know, build an organization that actually has a presence in the community? Because one of the reasons why our communities look the way that they look is because we got all these vacant buildings, these abandoned buildings, but we got all these entrepreneurs. How can we get the entrepreneurs to get the brick and mortar, to put in our community, to have businesses that serve our community, like you touched on it on your intro, but just kind of tell us what you're doing and the mindset of an entrepreneur and like what's needed to succeed in 2020, especially given all this that's going on.
Oh man, bro, I could talk about it for years on years on years because as far back as I can remember, I've always been super analytical. I've always been into like psychology in general. Why do I do this? Why do I think that? Why do I feel this? Why do people do what they do? And I found that that kind of separated me from a lot of the people that are around. A lot of people just cared about the end result. You know, what's the bottom line? Just give me the short version, blah, blah, blah. But I was really interested in the deep inner workings of your mind. And from being that analytical, I found that what your mind creates is your reality. What your perception is your reality. And therefore, I have the power to create my own reality. And I've been able to do that with simple things like if somebody asks me how I'm doing, right? I'm going to say one of a couple of things. My favorite thing to say right now is there's heaven all around me. And the reason why I do that is because I know that by repeating something over and over and over again, my brain, my subconscious mind is going to look for reasons for why that is true.
It's affirmation.
Right. It's an affirmation. Yeah. And I'm using a cue, which is something that we all get on a daily basis. You know, you're going to hear it a couple of times a week, at least. How are you doing? There's heaven all around me. I'm doing fantastically well. If I was doing any better, I'd be worried. Mm-hmm. When I learned that and I saw the changes that were happening in my life because of these different things that I was practicing mentally, like practicing gratitude, meditating, these different things, now I feel like I'm in a position to share that knowledge and share these practices with other people. And I think that it's important for people to realize that you can create your own reality, because I know that there's a lot of people that if they felt they had the choice and the option to start their own business, they absolutely would. The only reason why they don't is because they feel like they can't. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame, because it's imaginary. You know, saying a lot of people think they don't have the time, they don't have the money, they don't have the energy. They feel like they don't have the type of resources that it takes to start a business. But the truth is, they're just not being resourceful enough. You have to use what you have to get what you need and not have everything in the world to just get started. You know what I'm saying? So if there's anybody listening that is interested in doing their own thing, I'm here to push you into entrepreneurship, whether it's getting a brick and mortar building, that's awesome, or even starting an online business. You know, that's awesome. The point is to get started. And when you're ready to get your brick and mortar, my man Rashad, he's going to hook you up.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So just to piggyback off of that, one thing that I want to talk about when it comes to acquiring, you know, business or whatever venture is how big fear can be a mind killer. You know, when you're fearful and you have a lack of education around something, you're not going to choose to act on opportunity that may be worth billions and millions, whoever knows how much. So the first thing you really need to get over is your fear of doing things. So, yeah. So as I was saying, you know, fear is the one thing that pretty much keeps people from propelling forward into, you know, jumping into the business venture that they want to jump into. So,
yeah, no, I think all that's important. You know, because people do, like, people are fearful. I mean, I was fearful, and, you know, and everyone doesn't have to get a brick and mortar, by the way. Like, we do run a co-working space, so before you get that brick and mortar, you could come over here. But at the same time, like, we were fearful when we first started, but at the same time, you know, really just trying to figure out why you're doing, like, what you're doing. A lot of people, especially in the inner city, they talk about gentrification, and me and my wife, we always talk about, well, why can't we be the they? You always hear about they're coming and like they're coming, but that really only means from a business perspective, or it means like someone's buying our houses, right? Like that's the only way that they can come. If they can buy our businesses, if they can buy our houses. Otherwise, like they can't come. It don't matter. There's nowhere for them to go. And so there's a lot of opportunity, and it's really just about making sure that like we can take care of our community and like what does our community need? And those needs to be the businesses where the entrepreneurs see an opportunity and say, okay, we don't have a cleaners on our block. Let me start a cleaners. Hey, like, you know, there's no lawnmower service that's black owned, like in South Central or whatever, like, why don't you start one, you know, cause everyone like needs to get their lawn mowed. And so it's really just about how do we uplift, you know, our younger generation to at least allow them to know the various options of getting a business. And so that's like really what, you know, like I'm trying to push. And I think that mindset is like really important, because kind of what we were talking about earlier today, it's like, there's no excuses. Whatever you don't know, there's the internet. You can go out, you can Google it, you can figure it out. And so like what's your mindset? I mean, like, Can you kind of give us an example of a person who, you know, you felt had like a really bad mindset and like how you were able to kind of help them and shape them to just move forward, like past that, like that fear and that block?
Absolutely. There's actually, when you were speaking, this series that I'm watching is coming to mind. It's, I don't know if I should name it. It's The White Underbelly. You know, that's what it's called. Yeah, The White Underbelly. Yeah. And what they do is they interview different people that have had turbulent lives. So I'm watching interviews from pimps, gangsters, runaways, a bunch of different people, and they're actually out here in L.A. It's very well done. And what I've noticed is that a lot of these people said that all they had to look up to were other pimps, gangsters, right. And that's where they thought and believed that their abilities, you know, extended to. This is what I can do because this is what I see, right? So, and it hits me right here. It hits me in the heart because I know that if they just were exposed to a black man, you know, that came from where they came from, that said, look, no, you don't have to go that way. You can do it this way. If you decide to shift that perception a little bit, if you decide to reframe the experiences that you have, you can turn your test into a testimony. Seriously. Not to be like cliche or anything like that, but it's absolutely true. Yeah. And when I have conversations with different people and my clients are like, matter of fact, I'm gonna bring up one specific situation where I'm working with a female who wants to get into real estate, right? And she's like, well, I know I have a passion for real estate. I want to not only own my own homes, I want to own 20 homes and become a landlord, but I also want to coach and train other people to get into the real estate game as well. But I have this, and this in the way, and I'm not going to be able to start till July. This was back in April. Mm-hmm. She was saying this, right? And I, the way I go, my style is I don't give you the answer. I don't tell you what to do. Instead, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I'm going to get you to consider different things and find out if this is real fact or if this is just a fear, if this is just a hesitation that you have. And through my line of questioning, you know, what about this? What would your life look like if this was to happen? What about this? Or why do you think that is the reason that you have to stop here, right? Yeah. Through my line of questioning, she's like, wow, I don't have to wait.
Yeah,
I don't have to wait. I can do this right now. Like, I could start working on this now. So it's one of my favorite parts about what I do is just seeing and witnessing people have that aha moment,
yeah,
that,
seriously,
you know, the power is in my hands. I can move. I can act on this right now. So I joke around with her all the time. Every time we have a conversation, I'm like, is it July yet?
Right. Like, where you at?
Nope.
Like, you got your own business?
Because she's doing so much in the way. She's already on her way to owning her first duplex. And she's already locked in a partnership with another very veteran a real estate agent, or I don't know what his official title is, but he's been dealing in real estate for 16 plus years. Uh-huh. So she's super excited about that. And I know that she wouldn't have tapped into these opportunities had I not questioned her mindset early on. So there's that. I have a couple of other clients. Like, I just love what I do, man. So...
Yeah,
and that's where we at.
And again, like make sure you guys check out the Uncle Sonny podcast because you get more gems.
So just to go back, since you started talking about real estate and we were talking about brick and mortars, you know, and this is me talking to you from actual experience. I used to own a brick and mortar clothing store back in Jersey City. So the one thing that I realized in having that brick and mortar is people are going to take your business and your venture a lot more serious as opposed to just if you're just on Instagram or if you're just, you know, telling everybody you know, about your business. Nah, you want to actually be able to put yourself out there, put your brand out there so that you get that exposure, one, but also two, you also got to look at your competitors because, I mean, one thing I noticed, you know, since I was mentioning my clothing store, you know, everyone has a clothing brand nowadays, yeah. You know, I mean, as a matter of fact, Uncle Son, you got a clothing brand.
I'm doing it all, man. No stone left unturned, baby.
Everybody has a clothing brand. So it's like, you know, what are you doing to set yourself you know, outside of what everyone else is doing, you know, having a physical location. Now, in particular, you know, clothing, you know, everything did go online, but I remember just having that physical presence. It not only built up my network tremendously, you know, it actually did a lot of good for my community. It built up a lot of people and given them opportunities that they never would have had.
Right, right. Yeah, because like they, you know, and again, like all the small business loans that are kind of going on right now are for small businesses. And, you know, a small business is a business that could be in the community. And so it's like there's reasons like why you should do certain things. There's tax breaks. But if you're going to have a business, you have to look at all the options. So you might start off as an e-commerce, but that shouldn't be your end all. If you're doing, you know, let's say clothing, for example, and, you know, you could probably attest to this. It's more about and actually, I was working with my brother-in-law. He has a clothing brand, Two Nights Elite. It's an athletic line out of San Diego. And we were basically talking about, oh, he's working with like a drop ship company. They're taking like, you know, 80% of like, you know, everything. But you know what? He doesn't have to do no legwork. Right. He doesn't have to do no shipping. Don't have to do no packaging. Everything is kind of automated. But it's like you kind of lose out on some money. So you have to like know how to go and source and how to go find these resources and how to, you know, figure out how do you want your tags to look, how you want your packaging to look, how do you want your logo to look. And so the more you put into it, like you said, eventually it's going to lead you down a path to become a brick and mortar. And so not necessarily that everyone's going to do it, but it's like, you know, if you have a store that could be a brick and mortar and it could go in your community where your people are already at, it's like it's easy opportunity to do that. Rent's going to be a couple thousand for, you know, a 500 square foot little storefront. But that's cool. You know, like you got your store. Hopefully your business is booming.
Marketing.
Yeah. And like you got to market. And it's all about having access to resources. And I think one of the things that you touched on a little while ago was just around being ready for the opportunity. People always say, oh, you get lucky. It's like, no, it's just being prepared. And so, you know, with your example you gave earlier with the agent, it's like you can start somewhere. If it just starts at like just doing the research, if I can give you that aha moment to go start the research and send you down the path, I feel good about myself. If I can send someone down a positive path in every interaction I have in this world, then I'm doing my part.
Right, right. Yeah. It definitely, it lights my world up, bro. It makes me feel like, you know, I'm doing something significant if I can open up a whole world of options to you. And I wanted to touch on, because I'm a big believer in vibes, and when it comes to having a brick and mortar and having this face-to-face interactions, like here in this building, right, there's nothing like it, even though I'm a big advocate for online businesses because it's so convenient. You can do it right from your home and all these different things. But if you want to get that in-touch vibe, if you want to be around people and absorb other people's energy, like positive energy, like what we're doing right now, I think that there's a major benefit to having a brick and mortar and coming into a space like the one that we're in right now. Thank you again for bringing us here.
No, definitely. Like, you know, just really trying to bring people together, and like that's really what it's about. And so just want to make sure that, like, you know, any business, you know, people are not going to necessarily be able to work from home all the time. But just making sure that you're efficient in your work. And one of the things that I'm also trying to do here is like teach people how to use the business tools that are available to them. So whether that be like making their, you know, business website just functional, like don't necessarily have to be the freshest design. It's like, is it functional? Can you collect the information that you need to collect? You know, can you, you know, try to automate your business, you know, as best as possible. But sometimes people just need a space. And so just being able to be around, you know, get enlightened by other people walking in, just feeling the vibes, that's one of the things that we're trying to create. And like, we got a lot of plans for La Create Space. It's just a matter of time before, you know, we're in like 5 cities, because we feel that what we're doing is like that important, and we've been getting people on board. So we're coming up on like our time, but I definitely wanted to, just kind of talk about like this next segment. It's kind of like a fun one. And so I'm going to ask both of the guests to just grab their phones. Like they're probably in the same groups anyway. But basically just, you know, there's a lot of top of mind things going on. And so one of the things that we kind of, that I like to do like to end the show is just, it's called The Thread. And so it's really just going through like one of your threads and talking about just real quick, like what you and your homies are talking about. It could be trash, it could be sports, it could be whatever, but I just like to like cue out the world to see like what everybody's talking about, you know what I mean? If you don't feel comfortable, you don't gotta share it, but you know, it's just, you know, it's just a cool part of understanding like what people are about. So I'll start off. So my guys are talking about this new documentary. It's called Burn, Motherfucker, Burn. It's on Showtime. So we've kind of really been talking about this, and it really just explores, you know, the history and the relationship of police in the Black community. And so LA, it's like a perfect time for that. So everyone, if you get a chance, go ahead and check out this this series called Burn, Motherfucker, Burn. It's on Showtime, and leave a comment down below, and then we'll be able to kind of talk about it and talk about how was it.
I mean, me looking through my feed, we mostly talk about the buffoonery of Donald Trump. Like, what, one post they sent us, the far left fake news media, which had no problem with the rioters and looters destroying Democrat-run cities, is trying to COVID shame on our big rallies. Won't work.
Yeah.
Like, oh, gosh, man. Like,
right.
Just shut up sometimes.
Right. So we got, like, another five-part episode talking about Trump. Well, yeah, it just, yeah, as you can see, what's going on today.
Y'all ready for this? Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
Oh, man. So I have a lot of conversations. I have a couple of my text messages. This one is on actually Facebook. And I posed a question, and it says, when did you know it was time to start your business? And I have some interesting answers. I don't know. It's probably uncommon. Uh-huh. It's uncommon. But I have my man Jeremy, who he said he knew it was time to start his own business when the first time someone told him what to do, and he realized, nah, fam, I do what I want. So he's talking about, you know, the freedom of choice that you have with your own business. And this one is pretty long. Y'all see here, like, a lot of people were like, yo. Mm-hmm. It's business time.
Yeah,
it's
time
to start your business.
Nah, it is business time. And like the thing about it, I think Black people, you know, just minorities in general, just hopefully the world, you know, if you're not rich and you're not, I don't want to say people need to try to be rich, but you need to have enough money to maintain like your life and to live a comfortable life. And I think everyone's going to quickly realize in the coming years that like a comfortable life is better than like a flashy life living in, you know, the city of your choice. It's like really just, how do you be comfortable? How do you have a safe place for your family? And the reason why we do this exercise is really just because I like to gauge like kind of what's going on. Three different crowds, three different type of like thoughts, but it's really just about like, you know, how can we get out of this racial inequality, like dealing with the police injustice right now, and like how do we prosper as Black people? So just that little exercise right there just shows you like where everyone's at. I think, you know, we're like this is a history moment. I think this will be like our version of like the March on Washington, and you know, come 30 years, like we're going to be talking about all this that has been going on. So hopefully in 30 years we'll all be old, we'll all be sitting chilling, you know, in our big houses wherever we're at, and we'll be living
in a yacht
in the middle of the ocean. Yeah, just enjoying our life and just knowing that the work that we're putting in today made the future a better place. So, yeah, we're going to wrap it up. Before we do that, just wanted to sign off with all my guests, kind of tell them, like, where to find you. Anything else you want to let everyone know?
Yeah, for sure. I'll go first. I'm my guy, T-Spice, on all platforms, Instagram. I'm on TikTok, Facebook, the whole nine. And the type of content I post has an intention of really opening up your mind. I consider myself the world's first and only perceptionist, because mm-hmm. I know that if I can shift your perception, I can shift your entire reality. Aye. So that's a big reason to go ahead and connect with me. I'd love to connect with anybody that's listening to this right now. I do offer one-on-one coaching in my program called GYST, G-Y-S-T, stands for Get Your Shine Together. I have an online course called Entrepreneur to Entrepreneur, because I realized the hard way that it's super important to become an entrepreneur before you ever become an entrepreneur. That's all about your mindset. That's all about time management. That's all about money management. And that's all about having a viable business idea and knowing how to get it to the market. And I've recently released my first book as well. It's called Have the Guts to Follow Your Guts, Why Playing It Safe is the Biggest Risk of All. And that is available on Amazon right now.
You got the shirts.
Love. Oh, yeah, yeah. See, bro, I got the podcast.
Got the podcast.
I always forget. if I can't, I don't want to take up too much time, but I think that that's important to say too, because, you know, I get down on myself about what I'm not doing and I forget about a lot of the things that I am doing. So yeah, the merchandise is available on UncleSunnyProject.com. I have love shirts. It's meant to spread the idea of loving yourself first and then loving the entire world. I think that we kind of, we fall short on loving ourselves, but we don't even have the intention on loving the entire world. And I listened to Dr. Sebi said, when you truly love yourself, you love the entire world. And that's my personal mission. And then I have the Uncle Sunny podcast, which is all about different conversations with thought leaders, entrepreneurs, and creatives, all about the different types of mindsets and perspectives that you need to have to jump out of your job and into your dreams.
All right, so my personal Instagram and other social media platforms is at RayTheRuler. You can contact me via my website, www.mtzionfinancial.com, if you're interested in any type of lending regarding personal. I actually specialize in startup lending, you know, so that's an option for you, business lending as well as commercial real estate.
Yeah, dope, man. Well, thank you guys for being here. I'm Terrell Johnson. You can follow me on Instagram, Terrell J. Johnson. My whole name's spelled out. And you can also follow me on the Black Engineer podcast on Instagram and theblackengineer.com. We do have the merch coming out later. So just be on the lookout for some t-shirts. Support your boy, because we are trying to build a community program where we can help at-risk youth learn about engineering and coding and all that good stuff. But we'll be bringing you more podcasts in the near future, dope conversations with dope people doing dope things. So really appreciate you guys. And yeah.